Hi, I'm Stacy.
And I'm Jessica. And we're two sisters momming, homeschooling, adventuring with our kids in the Pacific Northwest.
We are by no means experts, but we love to chat about what is and isn't working in our own lives.
Join in the conversation at homeschooladventurespod@gmail.com.
How's it going?
Good.
It's been too long again.
I mean, this always happens.
I know. I feel like we just like...
we get into a good rhythm and then something comes up and then we just kind of slowly get out of the habit.
Yeah. Life gets a little crazy and then we forget.
True.
But we're going to try again.
Yes. So you moved.
I did. I wasn't sure if it would ever actually happen. But like happened. I knew we had a house, but... everything
and it's magical
popping up at the last second.
Yes, it's so acreage. Magical. It's like,
yes,
amazing.
It is a dream come true. Like being able to look out my window and see just like forest and no other houses.
That's
around.
The best part.
Like, I don't know why that makes me so happy.
I think we're
I don't
hermits.
Know what that says about me, but it's so, so great.
I think we're just hermits.
I think so too. I mean, it's gonna be a long time before it feels like super settled and. Mm-hmm. We're very slowly unpacking. We're waiting on like a few projects to be done. So it's not quite there yet.
But and you're going to get so chickens great. First.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the problem is the to-do list is just so long of all the things we want to do.
Yeah.
It's like a treehouse and animals and all this stuff. So it's we're trying to calm down a little bit and take it one step at a time.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm excited. We have lots of fun things going on.
It's exciting.
Yes.
So
not to mention we're trying to get you guys to move out there.
Yeah, we're gonna get there.
It's taking forever.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll happen though.
Apparently we moved to a place that is a really hot market and just no inventory.
Yeah, so. We like read the most depressing thing ever. We're like looking at like different like Facebook groups for like the area and my husband was like, okay, like we're trying to find some properties and someone was like, good luck. I like looked every hour for like 5 months or something ridiculous. It's like, okay.
Okay, that's
that
really
sounds hopeful.
Well, I mean, we anticipated being in our apartment for a month, maybe two, mm-hmm. and we were there for over 6 months looking for a place. So
I guess that just means it's a really amazing area, right?
I mean, we're really, really loving it. So we'll love it even more when you guys get your booties out there.
For sure. So today we're doing the three R's.
Yeah, I think we started to do all the different subjects mm-hmm. and I think we were maybe saving the last.
Yeah.
Like the most important ones that people talk about.
Right.
I don't know if they are necessarily the most important, but you know, the big
three.
Core.
Yeah. Yeah. Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yes. So tell me what you guys do. What do you guys do for math?
Math. Okay.
Let's start with math.
So math is weird for me right now because we do our workbook where they do a few pages each week. It's called Math for a Living Education.
Yeah, we're doing that one too. That. Yeah, I think we've talked about it before.
Yeah, so we like it. I think I was getting a little annoyed with the book because a lot of it was just like new material and then it would kind of go back to like stuff that they learned forever ago and you were like, I just skip over stuff.
Yeah, it's
like
very that. Review heavy.
Yes, which I think is good.
I agree.
It's good to do a lot of reviewing, but then I'm like, if we have to go over this one more time when like this is something that they've known for so long. So we just started like kind of skipping through the stuff that is not necessary.
Super repetitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'll just do, like when that happens to us and we've like done the review so many times, I'll just pick like one problem or we'll talk about one problem instead of doing a whole page of review.
Right. That's smart. So that's kind of what we've been doing with that. But then the other part that was super frustrating is we kind of like would loop through math with doing the workbook and then we would do some Khan Academy and then we would do like maybe like a math game.
Okay.
So Khan Academy is like a love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's great. I'm like, oh, this video tutorial explained it 10 times better than I could have explained it. But it seemed like every time we would log on, it like lost all of their information, and then I'm just guessing as to what lesson they're on.
That's frustrating. So
then I like went down this like rabbit hole of trying all these different online math curriculums. We tried Elephant Math, we tried Prodigy. We have not found a winner yet. Yeah. But the hunt continues.
Yeah, we took this year, and it's probably been going on almost 2 years now. We've taken a break from Khan Academy. We were really into it for a while, and there was nothing wrong with it. I liked it a lot. I just kind of wanted to see what else was out there.
Right.
Yeah. So we've been really heavy into the workbook.
But I feel like math games are kind of fantastic, too, like when they're getting over it or like with my youngest, like when she's been working on certain things like addition or subtraction, then we can find our great game like Sum Swamp.
Oh, that one's doing a really good one.
And so that makes it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we've been doing. And Sleeping Queens, Rat-a-Tat-Cat. And then there's this game, the Grandpa Beck's golf game.
Oh, yes. I love that game.
Super mathy, but then at the end you have to do your total and you're working with negative numbers too. And I feel like that kind of...
Yeah, I think it all helps. I mean, they may not seem like straight out a math game, but I think anytime they have to add up their scores or, you know, working with negative numbers, like that's huge. Those are things that they're doing like in a fun way.
Yeah.
That are just kind of like solidifying all of those math things. Yeah.
Yep. So what do you do for math?
Well, we kind of have been, like I said, we've been heavy into that Math for Living Education workbook. So we work through that, but we also supplement a ton with, like you said, games. We do a lot of logic and puzzles kind of things. So we do Sudoku and Kenken.
I love Sudoku.
It's really addicting. Like I'm always like, okay, it's time for Sudoku, which I get really excited about. I have to like hold myself back from like solving the puzzles. I really do. Like is an effort. And then Kenken is
what is that?
It's just like Sudoku except I don't know. It's more of like in an addition sort of way. So you're adding up the boxes to get to a certain number. But it's just, I guess, kind of along that same line. So we kind of like to do logic puzzles every day of some sort. We do a lot of bedtime math and math dice, which are like
math is great.
I love that. So like word puzzles and then also mental math, which is like what the math dice game is about, is just like doing the equations in your head kind of a thing. We have done flashcards for like multiplication and division on like an app on a phone that he really, really likes to do. Anything really on a phone is just exciting. I don't know why. So we do a lot of that. And then I always have my picture book supplementation. So we did like a year and a half of Life of Fred. I know you guys tried that and weren't big fans.
We weren't big fans, but a lot of people love it.
Yeah. So we liked it. I think we'll eventually go back to it. I just feel like the big thing for me in math is just introducing it in a lot of different ways and then just continuing to like go back over the information in a unique way. Because I think people learn math in different ways and I'm not exactly 100% sure what's the best method for him to learn. So we're just kind of trying it all and adding it in. And then we also have this great book series along with Life of Fred, which Life of Fred is just like story math. It's like telling a story of this little character.
Which is kind of similar to Math for Living Education.
Yes.
It's all woven
like it's story based. Yeah. Which we're big fans of the but stories. But different. So and then there's this other series called Circumference. A story about a knight and there's like fractions and tens, like the tens place and pi. So that's a fun way to kind of like bring in those other math things. And then we've done lots of fun things that I think we've probably found on Pinterest over the years, like measurement scavenger hunts and shape scavenger hunts and all sorts of graph fun and lots of things like that. So there's lots of ideas on Pinterest, but we try to keep it as fun as possible. Even if sometimes it's just out of a workbook, we try to like throw on some fun here and there.
Yeah. I remember when my kids were like a lot younger, I mean, Pinterest was like the best ever. There's always some type of counting activity that was like hands-on and fun for them. So Pinterest is a win.
Yeah, I remember doing, I think we got this off of Pinterest. We did some math together when they were just like barely learning, like, to recognize numbers, and we would go write them out in chalk, and we would give them squirt guns.
They called it naughty number.
Yes, they'd have to shoot the naughty number. They loved that so much.
Yep, they loved that.
But there's so many ideas out there to make math, like, a little more hands-on or just a little more fun.
Yeah, I totally think that, like, once we've done, like, a lot of the workbook, they kind of just, like, dread the math.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, we have to kind of
take a break.
Switch it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just continually, like, switched it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. This math book that we're doing right now is probably the longest we've ever stuck with the math program.
The Math for Living Education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good one.
I just feel like it covers a lot of the things that I probably would have forgotten about, or maybe the other curriculums don't cover. Like, Roman numerals are in there.
Right.
Just, like, a bunch of things, like tally marks. Like, those kinds of things probably wouldn't have been on my radar. So I feel like it has such a wide range that it covers that.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
It's a good one. Okay, what about writing?
Well, writing is my child's least favorite subject. He cannot stand to write. Like, even when I'm talking about doing this, like, math workbook, like, he begs for me to just write for him. And it's not like he can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's able. And I do think that a lot of it is, like, some kids just take, and I think that it's been proven that it's usually boys, they just take longer to develop those muscles that are needed for writing. So I know for a long time that was part of the problem, is he just wasn't ready and it was so hard for him. But now, like, he can do it. He just does not like to.
Yeah.
So we try to, like, find, like, we have a workbook that we use, Handwriting Without Tears,
mm-hmm.
which I really like, and he really likes, I mean, as much as he can like it,
right.
for his worst subject ever.
Yeah.
So we do that, but I also try to find, like, little things for him to write, like thank you notes or just, like, messages. Like, he wrote Valentine's to people.
Yeah.
And so just finding little opportunities for him to write, like, mm-hmm. sneaking it in there.
Right.
Where it's more of, like, it has a purpose, because for him, having a purpose in doing something instead of just doing it makes a huge difference.
Yes.
What about you guys?
Same. We do the Without Tears handwriting. I think I love it so much because it's, like, one of the only things that they can do independently.
Yeah.
So it's, like, that's my go-to if, like, I have to do something, is have them start their handwriting books. And it's pretty easy. You know, they can
open it up and go.
And they figure it out.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing, is I feel like they're always finding, at least my little girl, she is always finding things to write.
Yeah, she just showed me her notebook.
Yeah, she
full
loves it.
Of, like,
she loves writing stuff.
Full of all these plants that she has written the names of, and
which she did on her own. It was not, like, something she had to do or anything, but she,
it's just hilarious that she would, like, volunteer to do that.
And I feel like all day lately, the last, like, several weeks, it's just like she follows me around with this notebook and she's like, how do you spell this? I'm like, loving it in the beginning, and then I'm like, she asked me how to spell one more thing. She loves it, so it's really good.
Okay, I heard a tip on another podcast that might help you out if you're in a pickle with this. So someone was talking about their daughter trying to write a book. Like, she was writing a story, mm-hmm. and she had, like, lots of questions on how to spell things.
Yes.
So they just set her up with an Alexa. And they would just say, she would just say, Alexa, how do you spell this?
This is going to blow her mind. You don't even understand how many times a day I get asked how to spell something. And half the time it's like these really complex, like
chrysanthemum.
Yes. I'm like, I'm going to have to get back to you.
It's been a while since I've written that word out. Hold on.
So
that might help for those situations where you can't quite give her the words right away.
She's gonna be thrilled.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. That's really what we do, though. But I feel like, what do you like for them to learn how to write, like, their own things? I feel like even just doing, like, the story dice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
For actually, like, instead of just handwriting, for actually, telling a story.
Yes. Yeah.
We love the story dice.
Story dice are, like, one of their go-tos. Or just, like, reading, like, really pretty words, like poetry and stuff is something we like to do, too.
We picked up, I think it was in the dollar section of Target a couple of years ago. It was, like, this pack of, like, books, mm-hmm. like, just blank books. And so we have, you know, attempted to write a few stories in there, and he gets a big kick out of that just because it's, you know, his own words in a bound book.
Right.
They're always making little books.
That's really too cool.
Okay, reading.
So I almost like have a situation with reading right
What's
now.
Going on with reading?
I don't know. I'm like in this
You're
pickle.
Like the reading guru.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it definitely is something that we love. But now I'm just like, what have I done? So my child loves audiobooks. There's like if there's a lull in anything, like he's grabbing his headphones and he's turning on his audiobook, which is great, right? Yeah. That's so great. Yes. But now it's almost like he wants to be listening to an audiobook while he's reading a book.
What?
Which I'm like, no.
No. No, he cannot.
Right.
Right.
And, like, a lot of the books he wants to do this with are, like, comic books that he's already read. So he says he's just, like, looking at the pictures.
That's.
I know, but I'm just like, that can't.
I feel like even, like, if I try to, like, listen to music while I'm reading, I can't focus.
Right. Like, I know there's no way he's actually reading because there's no way he could.
Right.
But he wants it, like, as background noise all the time. And I'm thinking that this might be not the best thing. And also, like, I feel like it's like getting in the way of his creativity and boredom, you know, like boredom creates, like, you know, inspires them to do things. And I feel like the minute there's like any downtime and he doesn't have
That's
something
so
to
hard,
do.
Though, as a parent to be
So what am I supposed
listen
to say?
To an like, audiobook.
I know I was trying to talk to him about it today. I'm like, okay, I think we're going to have just like some times where you can't just go for your headphones for an audiobook. And he's like, no, I love my audiobooks.
Can't
and I'm
take
like,
away my
you
audiobooks.
Can't really be creative. And
right.
He's like, Mom, they make me creative. And I'm like, okay, like, what do I say in this situation?
He's such a good arguer, though.
I know he is. Like,
should be a little lawyer.
Negotiator. It's terrifying, like, where this is going to lead. So, yeah, I feel like we're in a problem area.
He's always been, like, cruising through books because he's listening to them all the time.
All the time. Like, right now he's listening to the complete collection of The Wizard of Oz, which I'm pretty sure it's, like, 80-plus hours on audiobook.
Oh, my gosh.
And
this
is, like,
the same
one
that he's listened
through.
To because he used to love the audiobook.
Well, so we listened to the Anne Hathaway version
of
Wizard
of
Oz.
Yeah, wasn't
that
his favorite for forever?
Yeah, it's just the one book, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, that she reads. And we had that, like, that was one of the first audiobooks we ever did. Mm-hmm. And he loved it. We would listen to it as a family over and over again. Mm-hmm. But now we've gotten the entire collection, which is not read by Anne Hathaway. But, it's just this guy that reads it. I don't even know his name, but this is probably his third time through.
Oh my
like, that's
gosh.
Crazy to me.
That's
how
insane.
Many hours. Yeah.
Oh my
So
gosh.
I don't know. What do? You stop them?
I don't think I could.
I know.
But see, my kids, it's not like exciting to them at all. It's like, I'll be like, you can either go play with toys or listen to an audiobook. And they're like, toys.
Yeah, toys would win out. It's just not for him. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he's loving to read. Like, we just go to the library regularly, and we've been finding some really good. I mean, his favorites are graphic novels. But he's kind of branching out a little bit into some regular chapter books, too. But I don't know. Like, I can't keep him in books. Like, he finishes them so fast.
Right. That's wild.
Yeah.
See, my kids will do an audiobook from time to time. I feel like they kind of got more into it when, like, on our cleaning day, we have, like, one day a week. That was, like, their go-to is they would
turn on an audiobook
while they were doing their chores. But, I mean, it's still not their favorite by any means. But Read Aloud Revival, I feel like she has, like, you haven't really hardly ever read a book from her that they didn't love.
Yeah, that's like my first place I check.
Yeah.
Like, we just started we both just finished the new one by J.K. Rowling, which was so good. And it was really fun to, like, have them reading it at the same time.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And then we just started the Vanderbeekers, which I think was recommended by Read Aloud Revival. That's where I heard about that one. But we're liking that one a lot, too.
Trying to think. I was going to make a list of some of our favorites, but I didn't. We just started the Moomins collection, which they're loving. And it has cute little pictures throughout it, too, that I feel like kind of catch their attention more.
Yeah.
So we've been doing the Moomins collection. But then, like, when it comes to reading, I've always done the Learning Dynamics curriculum where it comes with like a little booklet, and I mean, we kind of don't even use the booklet anymore, but it comes with like a collection of different learning to read books that I've kind of passed through my kids.
Right.
So they have to read one of those every day, or the Piggy and Elephant.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we love Elephant.
Yeah, you're the one that recommended that. So that's always one that they'll do too. Or like Dr. Seuss books.
Oh yeah, those are good for starting out.
Yeah, so they do those a lot. And then Reading Eggs, I make them do that too. And I'm looking. They listen to that. Doesn't Read Aloud Revival have like a separate section for like audio books she recommends?
Yeah, I think she does. Yeah.
That's what they were doing too. She's she went through, my daughter went through all of the Princess in Black.
Oh, Princess in Black. And then now and she's on
Junie B. Jones. Yeah, oh, my Junie goodness. If I have to read one more Junie B. Jones.
You guys are
book.
Flying through that whole set.
I think we're down to only like two left. And then I'm like, what are we going to read after this?
Yeah, it's so funny.
That's what we've been doing for reading.
Yeah. We also try to throw in Mad Libs just so we can get the parts of speech. Do you guys do Mad Libs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they've been walking around the house lately, like, quizzing each other. That's cute. My son will be like, what is a person, a place, or a thing? And she's like, a noun.
That's so cute.
Yeah, they've been into that lately.
And they've been into spelling tests, which is hilarious.
I know. They, like, got so excited when I, like, jokingly said, like, I said something like, oh, don't say that, or else I'll make you do a spelling test, because they kept spelling it the wrong way. And they got so excited at the idea. So we did it for, like, fun. And now we do it every week.
That's so cute.
Yeah. They think it's the greatest.
Yeah.
So that's what we've been doing.
We started out doing, like, vocabulary when we were first training. Yeah. We would get, like, cards, or we would just find some words. But now I just feel like he doesn't have a lot of questions about them. So while we're reading a book. Like, I'll have him read to me, like, every other day.
Yeah.
Just so he gets used to reading aloud. I always tell him, like, you're practicing to read to your kids someday. Yeah. You're going to be so glad that I made you read aloud. He's like, it takes so much longer when I read aloud. But
yeah.
So we'll sometimes I'll just say, you know, do you know what that means or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do, like, a specific vocabulary curriculum.
We do those phonics cards that you gave us.
Yeah.
And then sight words, too. We do those lately, but they dread sight words, so I've been trying to make it a little bit more fun. So we do, like, a sight words bingo sometimes, or made, like, a board game for sight words.
Yeah, you made a board game.
Just trying to spice it up. And then we recently got the Good and Beautiful Language Arts program for my youngest. Mm-hmm. I guess she's not my youngest anymore.
No, she's not. But your youngest that you're, like, actually teaching lessons to.
So we started doing that with her, and I loved it so much that I got the other curriculum for my son, and it's lengthy.
Is it?
But I do feel like it's covering so many things that, like, I forget about.
Yeah.
So we just started that, and, I mean, so far so
good.
That
is the good thing about a curriculum is, like,
I'm like, oh, well, I wouldn't have thought about it. Yeah, exactly.
Like, sometimes when we piecemeal things together, I feel like, oh, shoot, is there something, like, really important that I'm forgetting? Whereas, like, having that, that's why I like to kind of go through phases where we do it on our own, and then we go through a curriculum phase.
Yeah.
So just to check back in and make sure we're covering everything. I mean, it's not like they're not going to have holes in their education regardless, but I don't know. It just gives you a little bit of peace of mind.
Exactly. Exactly.
For sure.
Is there anything else?
I'm trying to think.
Some of the games I wrote down too. So what we were doing a lot for the phonics is taking, like, the phonics words. You were the one that told me this. Mm. So you do, like, little pieces of paper with the phonics cards and then, like, put it, like, on the wall and then give them Nerf guns.
Yeah.
And they shoot the right one.
I'm sure I found this on Pinterest. Like, I'm always trying to spice it up.
That were, like, Scrabble or Boggle.
Oh, Boggle. Yeah. That's what we've been tackling spelling lately is with Boggle.
Boggle. I love that
game.
And
spelling. What is that? Bananagrams. That's the one.
We haven't played that one, but Boggle is a great one. They even have, like, this like this like younger kid Boggle game that we got too.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, where you like put a card and it like hides the words and then you have to kind of like spell it and then you can check it yourself.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that's a fun one too.
I've been wanting to get Quiddler or Quiddler Jr., which is like a card game.
I wrote that one down because it was on that that like game school group.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And a lot of people recommended it. I was like, that's a good one.
I know. I keep wanting to pick that one up, but mm-hmm. I forget.
Yeah. So.
I pretty much think that's.
Everything, right?
All that we're doing right now, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else. For the time being.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll change up as it always does.
Always. So what are you obsessing over?
So my class that I've been with for like the last 2 years,
yes,
for our Commonwealth, I can't say that without like saying it in a very like old-fashioned English way, but it's winding down,
yeah,
and we're finishing up. And so this year we studied 7 Habits of Highly Effective People,
mm-hmm,
which such a good book.
Yeah.
And I've read it before, but this year I've just like, it's been so good to like refresh and read it again. So I've really, really, really enjoyed it. And so I found these little gifts for them. I don't think any of them listen to my podcast, so I think I'm safe in saying this. But it's these new, I think it's like an anniversary special of the book, but it's these little cards. There's 52 cards. One for every week.
Mm-hmm.
And it has just like the different habit that it kind of like falls into. And then it has like a challenge and then some helpful hints,
yeah,
of things you can do to just be more productive and effective in what you're doing. So I am really excited about those.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
It sounds like those promptly journals.
Yeah. It's kind of, yeah, it's like kind of, you could use it as a journal prompt too, yep, for sure.
Which is what my obsession is this week.
Okay. Yes.
So there's, I'm sure this is like my biggest thing. I'm like, I don't even know if I've already said that I'm obsessing over these things. I need to like write them all down.
It's all right. We can repeat.
Yes. So, Simply On Purpose, she's on Instagram.
Yeah. I love her.
She gives a lot of, parenting advice that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Ralphie. So she teamed up with Promptly Journals, and she did a journal for kids. I think it's like ages like 5 to 18 or something.
Yeah.
But it's called Weathering My Emotions, a little journal for big feelings.
That's cool.
So I've been doing that with my kids, and it's not something they're wanting to do on their own yet, but I'm really hoping that if we set up the habit that eventually they'll be doing it. But she did a great job. Like, I love the way she incorporated pictures with it, mm-hmm, and it's not just strictly like writing. So we're a fan.
That's so cool. Yeah, yeah. I've loved everything that she does. She just kind of has that whole positive parenting mantra, mm-hmm, which sometimes like if you're not in the best place, you're like, yeah, okay, Ralphie, I'm so glad you're so perfect at parenting, totally, but the rest of us are struggling.
Totally.
But no, I feel like she has great advice.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
That's always my go-to after we have like a rough day. I'm like, okay, we're going to listen to some Ralphie.
She has like workshops and stuff too, but she does have a lot of free content on her website.
Yeah,
her,
I feel like that's right. I always go to is her Instagram. She has a ton of stuff on there. But
yeah, and she, I totally stole our whole, like how we do chores and how we pay,
yep,
and that whole thing.
Her charts.
Her.
I always steal her chart ideas.
Yeah.
I think those are great.
Yeah, she's very helpful.
Yep.
But I can't think of anything else. Can you?
I don't think so.
All right. That's it for now.
All right.
Bye.